Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show with co-host Ron Yarbrough. Ron Yarbrough will be joining us shortly. Hope you guys are doing well this evening. This pandemic, plandemic, is kind of slowly going away, which is wonderful news, thanks to all the prayers that's going out for the first responders, doing their jobs and giving them motivation, motivation. And to move forward. The music you just heard, guys, from there, that's Shani Morrell Holtz. Shani Morrell is out of Houston, Texas. You can find her on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Shani Morrell Holtz. She's actually an upcoming artist. She is the real deal. Shani Morrell is based out of Houston, Texas. Can't beat her, Shani Morrell Holtz. Also, too, you guys, for your golfers, make sure sometime to reach, go to Switch Grips. You have one of the owners, Eddie Rigacki, a wonderful person, Switch Grips. For your golfers, you can find the right grip for your hands, and also two all different styles. And I laugh a lot to the boys. I want to be kind of pretty, want to be smooth. So they offer that for you guys. You guys have to make sure you check it out. Switch Grips. Also, too, you guys get a chance, make sure you guys check out, if you guys are in the CBD, if you're in the CBD, let me tell you something, guys, this is really, really good stuff. And also, too, it builds your immune system up. You get a chance, I want you guys to check this out. The name of this is New Freedom. Go to New Freedom, it's a CBD. They have creams, oils, and a spray, and it's really, really wonderful, and you can't beat it. And Ron, how's it going? How you doing?
Everything is well. Ron, everything is well today. How mm-hmm. are you, my brother? Hey, guess what?
Yeah,
I'm another year older, my man.
That's right. It's your birthday.
Another year older.
It's your birthday today, right?
I'm a whole, no, Sunday.
You tripping late? Huh? See, that's slow. That's real late.
Ain't tripping on you, man. I know way better than that.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to Ryan Yarbrough. Happy birthday to Ryan Yarbrough, our Chicago finest, smoothest ever beat. Ryan Yarbrough. Happy birthday, man. For real, man.
Hey.
Yeah, so you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, congratulations on that. And also, too, you guys, Ron, you want to let them know how we can follow Arthur Yarbrough on your book.
Yes,
and
sir.
Also, too, guys.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No. The name of the book, name of my book is Believe So You Can Achieve. Once again, that's Believe So You Can Achieve. It's pretty much, it'll help you get to whatever level you're at. I mean, the next level. Past whatever level you're at, because we're all on different levels, as we all know, whether it's mentally, physically, or whatever, or spiritually, or whatever the case may be, we're all on different levels. But actually, right now, I don't even want to give the website out because they're making some changes on the website, the company is, so I don't want to send anybody to a wrong page. We'll get back to that next week. But you can look at, you can look it up online or anywhere like that, Google it or anything. and you'll see it. Believe so you can achieve.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Ron Yarbrough, Arthur Yarbrough. Ron, we're going to get into this. How you doing? All right? You doing good?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want someone to say this. Ron, I was working out the other day. Not working, I was walking, trying to stretch, trying to keep my body and my mind the best it can be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for your listeners, slow minded. All right. Slow my mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I want you to think about what I just said before I mention what I'm about to say. So check this out. A turbo mind is a turbo thing to waste. A slow mind. You know, you're not thinking. And that's why with us, we do these radio shows, former athletes. It is so hard, guys, for us. You just don't understand just to do radio shows. We have to go back and read, research, and read. And that helps us. That exercises our brains. A lot of times we miss shows, and that's us. You know, it's things not firing like it should. And you've done that sometimes. You get laughed at days ago. But there's a lot of guys out there that's not exercising their brain. And some won't make it around this time next year. And I've met many friends, former players, and it can happen. So we try to push, and it's hard. It is so hard for us to push to try to take care of sort of exercise our mind. But saying that to say this is that we did a topic on part three of the coronavirus, and I mentioned the first topic. I had a few people, and I had some people that was pretty close. And y'all, someone told me this, and this is the first time I've said this to anyone. You hear this, anybody. Someone told me, I really want someone to say it. It said, you know what? It said, don't talk about the Democrats. I said, what'd you say? And you know, Ryan, I football thing turn on. And I'm like, you know what? I said, let me tell you something. First of all, I haven't talked about Republicans or Democrats. I said Obama had this voted in 2015 so the Chinese can exercise this, what they turn out to make this psycho virus, right? So when he passed it, it was out of his hands. Am I saying that right? He wasn't over in the lab with them making this virus. All I said was that. But for some reason, people want to say, oh, you're talking about the Democrats. If you have something to tell Stevie Anderson, you can email me, and then I can give you my number. Email me at stevieredd11@gmail.com. And we can sit down, have a nice lunch, dinner, breakfast, and I'll tell you how I feel about what I feel. I didn't say that I was Republican. I said I was Democrat. I said this: how this thing started, this virus started from China. Wuhan, China. That's how it started. I didn't say about anything about Republicans or Democratic. That's how I said that. But for some reason, everybody want to get upset with me, y'all, bro. I can't say what I want to say on the show, but won't you just reach out to me? If you have a problem with me, we can just sit down and have a talk. You know?
Yeah.
Are you correct?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously, I mean, this is professional. Let's sit down and have a talk. And I don't care. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
If it was my mom, I want to say it's my mom. But look, but I don't care if it's my daddy. I don't care if it's my brother. I don't care if it's my brothers. I don't care if it's their cousins, my cousins, their cousins' cousins, their cousins' cousins'
yeah.
cousins. You have a problem with me, stevieredd11@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm not trying to
talk to me. Do it.
Don't come at me stupid. I mean, don't come at me all sideways. I said
uh-huh.
I'm reading stuff or giving people awareness on the show, y'all, bro. Awareness. And I mentioned, guess what, 2 weeks ago I said to you, I said, y'all boy is wrong. I'm going to tell him he's wrong. If he tell me, I'm wrong. I don't care if I'm black, green, yellow, purple, chameleon, striped. So So I just want to let that know, man, because it's been on my mind the last, since yesterday I was working out. Look, let me tell you something. StevieRay11@gmail.com. Look, I know the story my mom used to tell me. I ain't forgot that. I ain't stupid. I'm going to read this what, topic.
They ain't hear your email address, man.
Yes, Mark 5. Hey, guys, I just want to get that out. I feel a little bit better already. Mark 5, okay.
Yes.
25th through 29th verse, it says, "And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard reports now about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment." His garment had to be clean, okay? "For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease." All right. Y'all, bro, the topic tonight was the NFL 2020 fair, the draft. Mm-hmm. And that's first half. Second half is a flu shot safe during the pandemic. Now, y'all, bro, you a ball player. You came. Let me ask you a question straight up. I'm gonna say, before I say this, the National Football League, guys, the National Football
League,
the National League draft, also called the NFL draft of the players selection meeting, is an annual event which serves as the league's most common source of players recruitment. The National Football League draft first ever date was 1936. The first NFL draft was held at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Philadelphia on February 8, 1936. All right? That time, there has been a college draft held every year, resulting in a competitively balanced league. Okay? That's what they say. 2020 hosted 255 selections in the NFL draft, y'all, bro, at 7 rounds, which you know. Most selections, 14, Miami Dolphins had, and the fewest selections at 5 with New Orleans Saints and Kansas City Chiefs. There are 32 teams in the NFL. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think about this? What do you think about this draft, Yarbo? You think it was fair?
No, ain't no in between about this. And I would say no. For a couple of reasons, obviously because of the situation that's going on, that we're going through, this pandemic that we're having to deal with, the general managers, the owners, the scouts, the coaches, they really didn't get a chance to scout, well, face-to-face, person-to-person scout, okay?
Right.
There's a lot of virtual things going on. Yeah, you can still do your film study. Yeah, you can still do your recruiting and doing your homework, period, at home, on the computer, however you may do it, on the phone, talking to people, you know. But as far as – because the actual combine did happen this year, and that usually happens once again like in February, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So – between had to been just a couple of weeks after that, everything started getting shut down, you know, like mid-March. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard from evaluation on 255 people. And we're just talking about the people that got drafted. Okay.
Right.
So it's a very intense process. And what I mean by that is you actually have to go out and see people. Okay. Because, okay, Stevie, you know, even though you're a good 6'5", 6'6", all right, you can easily put 6'8" on your card. You know,
right.
You want to come out
right.
there looking like Harold Carmichael. You know, you want to be the tallest receiver in the history of football. Okay,
right.
But that don't really mean that you 6'6". Okay,
right.
They won't be able to get that true evaluation until they're talking to you, until they stand next to you, until they shake your hand, until they, you know, until they get a feeling about you. You know, because although we know each other throughout the years, talking over the phone is a good thing, but until we see each other and get each other's energy, see how you walk, see how you talk, do you open the door for people, you know, what type of manners do you have, things of that nature. You know, you actually have to be around people sometimes, okay?
Right.
So that part of it was kind of skewed, or very skewed, okay? But even more so than that were some of the other guys that weren't able to get evaluated, because I know this touched real close home to you, because,
yeah, because
you know, the black all black colleges, you know, the HBCUs,
right.
The historically black colleges and universities, they were supposed to have the first actual combine for HBCUs was supposed to happen this year. He may have got drafted your year. Y'all may have got drafted the same year.
Yeah, probably.
But I know
we're
all about the same age. He played for Miami, and he's on the board of the NFL right now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So he's like, you know, second, third man in charge. And
Go ahead.
Okay. And what Troy did, Troy put together just a combine for the HBCUs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much talent. There's so much talent out there. And a quote that he even said was, you know, the NFL, people are told, if you're playing on the field, we'll find you, okay? So there's so many people throughout history, not just HBCUs, but so many people that played Division III, whatever levels that they played on, it wasn't Division I, and had long Hall of Fame careers in the NFL, okay?
Right.
Now,
right.
getting back to the, not the demise, but the atrocity of the HBCU players not being able to get seen, it's a shame, because in late 60s, early 70s, you know, the age, well, 60s up until mid 70s, late 70s,
right.
HBCU was swarming through the NFL. There's so many Hall of Famers and long careers in HBCU. And the reason why I'm saying that, in talking to the listeners, Stevie, he'll tell you about his story. He went to Grambling, okay? So he's directly involved with HBCU. I'm second generation HBCU because my father went to Morgan State. He went to the MEAC. He didn't go to the SWAC, you know, where Stevie went, but he went to the MEAC. So that's all I heard about growing up, okay, was HBCUs. My father went to Morgan State. You know, I'm a second generation receiver. So that touches real close to home to me as well, because let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you this one last point and then take all the way over, because this is your thing all the way with the HBCU. Only one historically black college and university player was invited to the combine this year. And that's a travesty. I'm sorry. That's a major shame. Just for people that don't necessarily know, Jerry Rice, okay, that's one of the most popular names in this generation, put it that particular way, or last generation that people will know. Jerry Rice went to the HBCU. So when you can get people like that playing on that field, you know, that's not a real, true vision or representation of the NFL, because it's supposed to be national. You know, it's supposed to be a National Football League. And if everybody's not involved, then that's a major problem. So that's my take on what,
sweet,
what's going
sweet.
On with the draft.
No, that's just straight up. Hold on one second. We got a caller. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show with co-host Ryan Yarbrough. Who's calling?
Is Rennie Curran on the line?
Rennie?
Yes, sir.
Can you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, talk to us, Rennie. Rennie, you play ball. You're a ball player.
Yes, sir. Former University of Georgia linebacker. Came out in 2010. And now currently a keynote speaker, author, and do a lot of other things. But glad to be on the show, man.
Man, glad you called in, man. We got Ryan on the on the end right now. We got Ryan, y'all on the other side right now. And hey, Ryan, Rennie, tell us what you do now. Tell us what you do and everything. What are you doing right now for yourself, man? What are you owning the thing? What you doing?
Sure. Yeah. So. You know, I was able to achieve my dreams of playing in the NFL, play with the Tennessee Titans, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, went up to Canada. And throughout the course of bouncing around to different teams, I got into entrepreneurship, started by writing
right.
my first book called Free Agent, and that created the platform to get into public speaking. So now I speak to schools, businesses, associations, and whatnot on leadership, team building, and performance. And I also do some coaching as well for athletes and business leaders. So that's the gist of what I do. And then on the nonprofit side, philanthropist as well, I have a nonprofit that just recently launched called the Game Changers Foundation. And it's really to help current and former athletes in sports, business, and life. And we do that through community engagement, through mentorship, and leadership events. So that's kind of me in a nutshell, man.
And guys, guess what? Guys,
congratulations.
I got lucky from Mia to run across Rennie, man. So, Rennie, how can we, first of all, before we start talking, where can we find you at? Let's just know. I'm going to post in a way this week, but go ahead and if you can let us know where they can find you on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it, man. So the easiest way is through my website. That's RennieCurran.com, RennieCurran. That's where
again.
You can go to find out more information. It's RennieCurran.com, RennieCurran.com. And so that's where you can go to find more information about everything I just talked about. And then also I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and it's all just at Rennie Curran. On Twitter, I'm at RennieCurran53.
Awesome.
All
awesome.
Right.
And also, too, yes. Rennie, on the background, we have Randy Heim. He just kind of listened right now. He'll fill in a minute. I think Randy,
awesome.
you on? I think this is your phone number. We have a phone number from Houston. This,
yeah, I'm on here, guys. I'm on
okay,
here.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay. Right, go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan. I mean, what do you think about now go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead and talk to him, and then we'll ask him what do you think about the draft. Go ahead, Yarbrough.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. So this is a question for both of them to jump in, because Rennie, you went to University of Georgia, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you went to big time SEC, all right, Southeastern Conference, okay, versus I went to the University of Wyoming. That is D1, but it's definitely not SEC. So it's a smaller school. You know, when I was
right.
playing, we were called the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference, with Hawaii, BYU, Colorado State, you know, and Air Force, some other schools like that. But –
mm-hmm.
And then going on to with Stevie and Brother Himes on the line in the background, they went to Grambling State, okay, a
yeah.
historical black university, black college and university. So bottom mm-hmm. line is, because I talk to guys all the time, all ages. I'm on the board down here in Houston for the former players, NFLPA,
nice.
So I get a chance to talk to guys my father's age, you know, that generation, and the younger guys that came behind me, you know, like yourself and Brother Himes. And one thing,
right.
I don't know if everybody had a chance to go to the combine, but it's a lot of younger guys that, you know, that I speak with and that I hang out with down here in Houston. But one thing
yeah.
in common that we all had, were you able to go to the combine? Did you go to the combine?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. So we can talk more in detail at a further time.
Okay.
But one thing that is in common is the way that it's structured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So give us a little taste on how you felt about the combine and what you had to go through.
Man, I tell people all the time,
right.
Like what you actually see in the actual reality of it is, man, you see
right.
about 10% if you're on the outside. You see the 40-yard run, and then you might hear about the interviews, and that's about it. And you know, the Wunderlich test. Like, that's literally about it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They put you through so much, just even when you look at the medical side, just the evaluations that take place. You know, you spend a whole entire day just where they're looking at your EKGs, your blood, like your teeth, like every single thing. And then the psychological testing that they do is way
mm-hmm.
beyond what they shared as far as the Wunderlich test. They do color tests, reaction tests, personality tests, all types of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then and that's, you know, not even mentioning the informal and the formal interviews, which are extremely stressful.
Yes.
And the time that you have to put up, the drug testing. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of stress, man. And I think that's a big part of it, is just seeing, can you handle the rigors of just that whole entire experience? How you going to respond?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you one thing that, I mean, me and Stevie talked about this before, and some other guys have talked about this before. But one thing that really kind of freaked me out,
mm.
all the above, because I'm quiet. I can be quiet, but I can be shy, but people don't necessarily know that. But 80%, 85% of the time, I don't have a problem with being on stage, being out in front of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, sometimes I'm a now you see me, now you don't type of guy, okay? So then
right,
you
right.
see me 1 second, then the next second I'm gone. But
mm-hmm.
one thing that still sticks in my mind from the combine, for the listeners that don't know, you have to get on stage, okay?
You're right.
They call you on stage, okay? And I never was in the slave trade, so I cannot say that. But from my reading, from my history, from stories that I know, I kind of felt that particular way when we on stage. Because to the listeners, what happens is they call your name, you go on stage, and if you're familiar with a hotel or anything like that, they have conference rooms. Okay, now all the conference rooms, you know, have doors which separate each other. So all of these doors are gone already, because there's like anywhere from 200 to 500 scouts in the place.
Hey.
And all you're doing
hey.
Is you're on stage. You're only on stage with some gray shorts on. Okay.
Hey.
Now I'm confident. I was confident in my body back then, and I'm still confident in my body right now. Okay. So I don't have a problem with taking my shirt off and things like that. I'm cool with that. But it's a little different when you in a room full of 200 to 500 men, okay, coming from all different angles, and they call you out, they call you your hand size out. Somebody's recording you on stage, then they call it out, and then everybody in the stands or all the scouts and everything write it down. Then they're on to the next thing, you know, and they're measuring your chest, they're measuring your from your neck to your chin or anything like that, and then they call it out. So you're going to be on stage for about a good 10 minutes, you know, and you're just on stage by yourself. And that was the one thing that made me the most uncomfortable, and still being able to talk about it to this day. And like I said, I recently spoke with a guy who got drafted in 07, and he was like, yeah, they do the same thing still. So did
mm-hmm.
they do the same thing? Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That was just one.
Yeah.
That was just one of them. I don't know if they did this to y'all, but they had us go in a room with, like, all the team doctors from across the league, and basically they all had, you know, tables set up. It was like you walk to one, and you lay down on the table. They pull on your knee joints, pull on your shoulder joints.
Oh, yeah.
Checking you
oh,
out
yeah.
with your a car.
Oh, yeah, they
open.
Did that.
And then you
yeah,
got to go to
that.
The other
yeah.
one. Yeah. 32
if
times.
If you didn't have an injury, you could very easily get an injury off of just the
right.
evaluation. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And then I had one doctor that said he felt something weird in my knee. And so after visiting all 32 team doctors, I had to now go for like another two. It was like 2 to 3 hours sitting in the MRI machine. I never had a knee injury in my life. But he said something fell funny in my knee, so I had to go in that MRI machine. So I'm just looking around like, man, what? This is crazy.
Yeah,
you know, when I think about it, it's like if you were gonna invest in a car that was $1 million, wouldn't you want to know everything about it? So you know, I think about it. Mm-hmm. I can't blame him. Yeah,
right. I was lucky to have an older brother that got drafted. My older brother Anthony, and everyone knows my younger brother Scotty, but he had prepped me, and I was leading because of my last name. I led the group, so for me, it was a little bit. It was I expected certain things. So he prepped me, and I thank God for my older brother, you know, going through it because it helped me a lot. But exactly Ryan's saying, it made a difference, you know, and what Ryan is saying is true. And I think about that too, Ryan. I still think about that, you know, getting turn to the left.
Yeah, man.
Turn to the right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, for me,
things we put ourselves through for the dream, man.
Yeah, you know, and you know, that's what it was. But how do you feel about the draft, though? You feel like it was fair, and we're gonna let Randy jump in. But do you feel like the draft was fair?
Are you
opinion about that, Randy?
Not at all. Not at all. And you know, Ron mentioned it. I think it was you talking, Ron, earlier. I was listening to him. But you're exactly right. Just the impact that, like, not having that pro day has, I mean, that's detrimental to so many guys, especially the ones who aren't able to go to the combine, the ones who are at the HBCUs or, like, just the smaller schools as a whole. That's your one opportunity, you know, to showcase. And like you said, being in person, then being able to see that work that you done put in since the season, because guys go ham, I mean, for 2-3 months preparing their bodies. Preparing their technique, you know, all those things in nutrition. So you go through a full transformation from even when you leave your college to that pro day time in March. So for them not to, these NFL scouts to not be able to see that, man, that's a huge loss for so many guys. And then you have some even who are from the big schools who maybe didn't have that great of a season. And so this is their chance to showcase themselves. And, you know, even if you do go to the combine, like we talked about, it's super stressful. So that pro day is where you're back in your home environment, where you're most comfortable. You're around your teammates. You're around your coaches. Your support system is there. It's not near as stressful. So that's where you see a lot of guys have a performance that's a lot better. And so to not be able to have that, man, it really screws over so many guys. And then we still don't know what time guys are going to be able to report. Like, it's looking like they're not going to be able to do OTAs or might not even be able to, you know, I'm assuming they'll be able to do training camp, but OTAs is probably going to be, you know, not feasible at this moment. So it's really, really, really going to make the opportunities that guys get so few, like, and far between, which you know, a lot of guys are going to be home that don't need to be. You know, they're going to miss out on a lot because, like you said, you can't really evaluate that many guys in that short of a time.
Right. Randy, what do you think about that? You think the draft was fair? NFL draft? Randy, you know, Baltimore Ravens, Randy?
Yeah, I don't – not at all. I don't think it was fair, not one bit. I mean, when you look at the numbers when they put up on ESPN, you know, on how many players was drafted, you know, from one conference, you know, 63 guys, when you only have 200 – you only have 200 plus guys going to get drafted, you know. So that's, you can say that one conference took half of the draft, or maybe a third, you know, of the draft, because you know it's like my guy was mentioning, you know, there's so many other guys who missed out on pro day, you know, from the HBCUs, you know, they were getting ready to have a combine for the HBCU, you know, for 50 players, but man, you know, I think maybe only 10 HBCU guys were taken in the free agency draft. I know from Grambling, I know. I'm not from Grambling, but from Prairie View, it was two tight end and a quarterback. I think some guys from nobody from Bethune-Cookman, I know. Nobody from Florida A&M. Nobody, you know, but, you know, was it fair? No, it's never fair. You know, it's never fair, man. It's never failed. That's the thing. You know, the NFL's been around for so long, and what people fail to realize is, and I'm the younger one. You know, but what's my guy name up? The one thing, what's his name again? With the Joe's name is Ryan too.
Rennie.
Yeah, well, Rennie, you know, a lot of things that's not talked about is the HBCU is what, you know, the small schools. Let me say the HBCU and small schools is what started the NFL because that's where all the talent was at. So you go all the way back in the day, Paul Tank Younger, he was the first, you know, black, you know, African-American taken from Grambling, you know, to play in the NFL. And then
Shaq Harris, first black quarterback in the NFL.
He was the first black quarterback from Grambling to play in the Pro Bowl. You know, of course, Doug Williams, that's who coached me. Sammy White, who coached me, who was Rookie of the Year for the Minnesota Vikings from Grambling. Those are things that's not being talked about. You know what I'm saying? So even with the if you look at this here, even from the guys from the big B1 schools, right? I played quarterback. I was a quarterback in Grambling. I went 21-2 as a starter at Grambling. Won 2 national championships.
Slow down, Hines.
I'm going too fast.
Yeah. Don't forget Charlie Joyner, and then we'll leave it alone. Charlie Joyner.
You know, I mean, Eddie Robinson started all that. You know, at Grambling at one point, people don't know they had the most NFL players coming out of college. I'm talking over the Miami's, the Alabama's, you know, the Florida State's, you know, Bobby, you know, those older coaches was chasing Eddie Robinson to try to get that winning record. And I don't think nobody, there's only one person that could probably get it, which is, you know, obviously, you know, Nick Saban. But if you look at what's going on now with how they're doing black college players anyway from Alabama, you name it. When a quarterback, and I'm talking from a quarterback standpoint, they downgrade these quarterbacks like they went to a HBCU school. Why are you downgrading Jalen Hurts to be a gadget player? He went to Alabama and went to Oklahoma and showed you he can play quarterback.
Still got that first
round. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is we need to start getting our – if we can, we need to start getting our – black athletes from high school to go to these HBCU schools because they're just going to downgrade you anyway when you get drafted. He got drafted. That's good. If he got drafted, why are you downgrading this player? Period.
Right.
Why are you downgrading a kid that came from Alabama? Oh, well, you know, he don't have great foot speed. You know, he just went third round.
Right.
He went third round from Alabama. We don't. You know, he got great good speed, but his hand's not that great. Why you draft him then? You just don't. Things we got to start paying attention to. You know, everybody from the high school kids, from their parents. Man, and you guys know when we was growing up, that's where you was going. You was going to an HBCU school when I was growing up. That's where you was going. My mama knew. I didn't know nothing about Grant. Doug Williams called my house. My mama said, "That's where you're going." I was heavily recruited out of school, you know, coming from being out of Houston. You know, Galveston, Texas, where Galveston Ball High, you know, a lot of people don't know, is tied for first for most high school kids to come out of one high school to go to NFL in history. You know,
Let me ask you guys a question. What'd you just say, Randy? Right? What'd you just say? I didn't mean to cut you off. What'd you just say?
I'm just saying, is it fair? Is it fair? No, it's never fair. Never fair.
Let me ask you guys a question. Well, do you think the coaches, and then, Randy, I want you to come on because you're new to the show. Do you believe that the coach have an influence on those guys getting drafted, a heavy influence on the guys getting drafted, the coaches?
You know, in my opinion,
okay, yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if you want me or we got the same name pretty much. So
no, go ahead.
In my opinion, it depends on who we're talking about because, you know, a Bill Belichick is a lot different from, you know, a lot of coaches. he's pretty much, he runs things. So it depends on which coach you're talking about. In a lot of cases, you know, I believe it's a collaborative effort. It's between the GM, you know, the pro personnel.
I'm saying the college coaches. College coaches.
Oh, you said
the coaches being drafted.
Yeah, yeah,
college
without
coaches.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. I think, I mean, performance always speaks louder than anything. But at the end of the day, if a coach gives a bad review and it's consistent, I've seen so many guys that I play with, guys who are in the league right now, names who I won't mention, who are some of the top players in the league, but when they were coming out of college, the coaches didn't really have good things to say about them as far as their work ethic, their attitude, and whatnot, like, you know, what they're doing in the weight room, what they do on Saturday night. And so, yeah, that plays a role, man. It makes a difference.
And you know what? And that's not talked about enough. No one ever talk about that.
Right.
But go, yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Randy? The coaches.
I'm at a point because I work with kids. You know, I talk mm-hmm. to parents and trying to let them know. I got a kid right now, Joel Longoria. He went to D3 school, the big kid that got drafted from St. John at University of Minnesota. Joel Longoria, mm-hmm. defensive lineman of the year at Mary Harden Baylor, two-time All-American, had 183 tackles in four seasons and 18 sacks from the defensive tackle position, you know, who didn't mm-hmm. even get looked at, you know, but went up against a kid at a D3 school who just got drafted, you know, over the weekend. You know, so, yes, you know, coaches do play a major part because ain't no way in heck that kid right there is not going to be on somebody's football team, whether it's in a draft or the free agency.
Right.
You know, especially when you're pushing for a kid. But, you know, I'm not going to call no names either. We got a guy, he's from the SWAC right now, and he was talking about it the other day, you know, far as in just how, you know, he just sick and tired of, you know, all these kids, man, going to the draft, and then they got something bad to say about their past. You know, leave their
right.
past alone. Don't try to get a story mm-hmm. off these kids, you know. And so and me saying that, I got a good friend, Robert Butler. You know, he does training down in Ruston, Louisiana, which is a teammate of myself and Stevie's brother, Scotty. You know, we play ball together, and we talk about how can we, you know, help high school kids because they're going to become college players on a
right.
man, try to do the best job you can, man, and talking to the parents,
mm-hmm.
man, try to have a clean slate. And that's what,
right.
you know, the guy from yesterday was talking about, man, leave these kids alone. You know, they had a good day, but the only, you know, talking about it on social media ain't going to do nothing. We got to do it in private. You
yeah.
got to do it in
yeah.
private. So that way, cause I'm going to just say this here. Stevie was the one that helped me. It wasn't just Doug. It was that outside help. Who helped me, you know, understand mm-hmm. how the football game went. Stevie worked with me with my dropping back, you know, throwing the football. I watched his brother Scotty run routes. So when I went to the NFL, when they switched me because they really didn't want me to win that Super Bowl because they didn't want history to repeat itself, they switched me the day of camp. They were saying they need some playmakers. But I had to hurry up and learn the position, which I played it in college anyway because I was a freak of nature athlete. But I have to work on my route running, and I have to vision myself being Scotty because I'm going to just tell you hands down, I know maybe getting off topic, I'm always talking about Scotty. If I had to pick out of any receiver I wanted to in the history of the NFL, I'm taking Scotty Anderson because I done seen them all run routes and I done seen them all compete. I seen Jerry Rice. I played against Jerry Rice. I played against Randy Moss. I played against Steve Smith. I played against Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I'm taking Scotty Anderson, you know, for somebody
yeah.
who's seen all the greats, I'm taking Scotty Anderson, you know what I'm saying? But forcing myself, you know, just going with that, I supposed to got drafted, but I didn't get drafted. It bumped me, you know, when I was coming out in 2002, Jacksonville was going to draft me in the sixth round if they didn't get the quarterback they wanted in the fourth round, which they wound up drafting David Garrard from Eastern Carolina, which bumped me out of the draft now. So, but I was on the phone with the Ravens the whole weekend, you know, because they was banking on hoping that I didn't get drafted so they can bring me in for a steal.
Right.
And that they did.
Right.
They got a steal.
What do you think about the coaches? Do they have a coaches? And before you say that, you know, for you listeners, it pays to get your kid out there at a young age. My mom and Ryan, Randy, you may not know this, but Randy know this and Ryan know this. My mom,
mm-hmm.
told my younger brother, and we can get into history stuff and everything another topic, because we're going to do this to another topic, Ren, and I want you to come back in next week, and we're going to talk mainly about the football draft. We're going to do a part two, because a lot of things guys need to know, people need to go out there, and we're going to get really, really heavy with it too. And I'm quite sure probably 10 guys in there, you know, coming in on the show. But my mom, my younger brother, Scotty, they noticed when he was 7 years old, they said, I want him to play receiver. And that's why they went to say he could run the routes. He was running routes at 7 years old, at seven, running full route tree. So for your parents, don't be afraid to single out your kid and say, this is what I want him to specify on. No different than people right now doing a profession. And it makes a difference. But go ahead, Yarbro. And only no cheese, Randy, too, about all that either. Right, don't put no cheese on right now doing the show. Only no cheese about that.
Go ahead,
Yarbro. What do you think about the coach? You think the coaches have a heavy influence? And then we're gonna move to the topic.
Absolutely, because I mean, like Haim said, he had Doug, but you had the legendary
and Tar Bowles, you know, so those are the guys who recruited us.
Okay.
So and Tar Bowles.
Yeah. And once again, you know, Stevie played for Coach Rob. You know, Coach Rob coached for about 50 years. Okay. So what it comes down to is having connections to the next level, if that's something that you definitely want to do. Okay. So and what I mean by that is I was my junior year, beginning of my junior year, all the way through. Are you going to leave a year early? Are you going to leave a year early? I'm playing the politician role because I didn't necessarily trust, you know, some other people that were around me, okay? So I know how to play the politician role and know how to deflect it off, but I'm like, I don't want to talk about this because I don't want, you know, my coach coming to me talking to me in a certain way. Okay. So at the end of my junior year, I went to my coach because, okay, he was like, you got to declare by, you know, beginning of January or whatever the case may be. So I went in a few days early, once again, being naive and not necessarily, or even also ignorant, not necessarily knowing the draft process or whatever, but knowing, shoot, since training camp even started my junior year, like, man, I want to leave this mug as soon as I can. You understand what I'm saying? I'm ready.
Right.
I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on to the next level already. So we went in, and I say his name because Coach Summers is like a big brother to me. I was his first All-American, and, you know, when he came to Wyoming, he was 27, and I was 19. And he knew the rest of the coaching staff, but I was, you know, by being from Chicago, I'm reluctant to a lot of things. I don't trust a lot of people initially. You know, it's going to take a while for me to trust you, okay, especially when it comes to my personal business. So come the end of the year, I'm like, man, I knew I could talk to some. If I couldn't talk to nobody, I could talk to him. Like, man, I really, you know, I'm thinking about leaving. I want to leave. He was like, well, man, I'll go talk to Coach. No problem. Like, man, I don't necessarily, you know, because we had rubbed each other the wrong way when my former coach first got there. So I didn't trust a lot of things or the approach that he came to me with. So saying all that to say, Coach Sumner said, man, no, he's cool, man. He just come across a certain way. And which he did, you know, and which I found out he's a great guy, you know, RIP, rest his soul right now. But so I'm like, I'll go talk to him, okay? So within the next couple of hours, Son called me back. He's like, hey, man, come back to the office. I'm like, man, what's going on? He's like, we're going to all have a sit down. And I'm like, man, for real? He's like, yeah. But lo and behold, my coach had contacts all up and down the NFL, all up and down throughout the NFL. But it was just a process. He was like, look, y'all, I made a couple of phone calls, okay? Right now, you know, some teams are saying this, some teams are saying that. And, you know, me, my whole mentality was I want the top. I not only want to go to the top level, but I want to be first round too. You know what I mean? I don't want nothing else besides that, okay? So, anyway, the it's an evaluation process that I did not know about, okay? But I got quickly educated And I also got quickly a whole nother level of trust with my other coach, with the head coach at that particular time. Cause I was like, man, I thought he was going to try to hold something against me, blah, 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 blah. And it was nothing like that, you know, nothing like that. But to answer your question, yeah, because for listeners that are out there that are trying to get to the highest level, your coaches do have a major influence because, bottom line, can't nobody hold you back but except yourself. Okay, that's what it all comes down to. Because if you're going to make it, or if you want it bad enough, you're going to get there. Because I can't stand hearing people, my coach played me, my coach did this, my coach did that. Even stuff that we went through, Stevie, you know what I mean? We still talk about certain things in New York, you know. But bottom line is, hey, don't know, didn't no one person control our destiny. Okay, that's what it all comes down to. So to answer your question, yeah, coaches do have a major influence. That's why all the talent want to go to one school, you know, because they know that they're going to be able to get to the next level because this coach has that contact, or, you know, so on and so forth. So, yeah, the coaches have a major, major influence on the draft, you know. So that's my take on it because, like I said, I went through it and I was thinking about jumping ship after my junior year. So I really got a quick education, especially my senior year. You know, it was just a whole nother breeze by year. But, they do.
Well, let's do this then, too. And, yeah, and see, and for your listeners, hope you guys get some valuable information. The information you get tonight, you don't hear this on television. They don't talk about this. We're going to give it to you. And also, too, we're going to do, I decided we're going to go ahead and do a part two of this. And, Renee, can you join us next week? Can you join us, you think? Come back in.
I had it next week because we definitely, this is something I wanted to add. You know, I know the show, I don't know if the show for the cut short, but I wanted to add, too, you know, with you guys and with people that's listening, we have to start paying attention to the draft, you know. Meaning they're doing a lot of more international drafting. You know, that's something that's raising. That's something that I pay attention to because, you know, like you say, international, national, you know, drafting. But I thought it was not taking nothing away from international players. But why are they doing this? Because, you know, in Canada, we want so many people that can play in Canada. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And we want you to come in next show, Randy. We want you to come in next show, and we're going to do an hour and a half show, and we're going to specifically talk nothing about the NFL draft or the fair. We'll do a part two. And the things you guys have in your heart, you can discuss it. And because this is what this was doing, it's helping the younger players at home right now, wondering what the HEL summit mean to happen to them, why they didn't get drafted, and why some of
them. Yeah, because another part about it not being fair. Like I said, that's another part about not being fair because they drafting international players, you know, so which is hurting HBCU guys or Division II guys. Because remember, you used to have Division II guys get drafted, you know, John Randall, you know, Al Harrison, you know, those guys came from Texas and Kingsville, you know, Dal Green, that's Division II programs.
Right. We want you to join us, Randy. Randy, how can we reach you before I let you go? Because I want you to come in next show. I want you to come back into the show. And how can people reach you? Randy Himes and Elite Sports, right?
Elite 160.
I will do a post this week, guys, for Randy. Bring into the show. We're going to make a big ordeal about it. And we can help a lot of players, coaches, and their staff. Hopefully join in and listen to the show. Randy Himes, I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, and hope to see you next week, next Tuesday. Randy Himes,
okay,
part
guys.
Two. Okay.
All right, brother all right, Himes, 21-2. Watch out, 21-2.
Y'all, bro, you a birthday, man. You had a birthday, man, this past week, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they had you all on social media, man, with your birthday, man.
Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody, man.
Randy Himes. Good night, man.
All right, brother Himes.
All right, man. You guys be blessed.
Peace.
All right, guys. Renan, again, Renan, I'm glad you called. I want you to come in next week so we can really, really get into this real heavy. Come in for like 10 minutes or so if you can, if you have time next week in the show, 15 minutes or so.
if you can come in next
yeah,
week and jump into the show.
Yeah, the crib.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. Once you come in, and again, guys, I have it written down, but I'm going to post it. You want to let everybody know again, Renan, where they can reach you at again, please?
Yes, sir. It's RennieCurran.com. It's my website. And then on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, same thing, Renny Curran, RennieCurran.
Yeah.
Hey, Renny, where you located at right now?
Yeah, I was just on top of my mind to say, but I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, specifically Stanley, so like about 10 minutes from Buckhead. So, yeah.
I'll be to see. My oldest daughter lives in Atlanta. I'll be to see you sooner than later.
Okay.
Yeah, and Renny, we're gonna reach out to you after the show. We're gonna talk to you some more after the show and everything, okay? And I'm glad you came into the show and I hope to see you next week, okay? Come in next week on the show,
man. Thank you guys for having me. Keep up the good
work. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate you, Renny. Stay up.
Yep. Be blessed.
Peace.
Ron, you said some wonderful things, man. I mean, like a lot of people don't know. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna do a part two, guys, of the episode. Do you believe the NFL draft was fair? Part two, and we're just specifically going to talk about the NFL draft. You were saying something, Ryan. I totally want to say, but also too, yeah. Got for your listeners before we go to the next topic. For your listeners, the sad thing about this, when you come home, Yabro and people, and I'm not going to get into it because we're going to keep moving. That some people be like, you know what? Well, maybe you're sorry. You didn't play hard enough. And
oh man,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And there's people out there like that, and it's like basically we're saying for you guys, listen, that's listening for your players and parents and coaches for your players. You're working on your game. The draft is not a fair draft. It's not fair. We've been drafted, and Ryan got drafted really, really high, right at the end of the first round. So it was going higher. So, but the thing about it is this, and I got drafted late, but the coaches told me, said, listen, at the combine, I did not have enough catches. 36 catches is rough getting to the draft, but I was scoring every other catch was a touchdown. But we'll talk about all that next. I don't talk about that. But the thing about it is this, that and for your players, like I say, keep striving. And a lot of people want to hear this. Make sure you have a good agent. We'll talk about that part two. And for your coaches, please, coaches, find some way to have that relationship with those owners. It's crucial. It's crucial.
Yes.
And Yabro broke that down to you, basically. I hope you guys caught it. And we're going to discuss more in the part two. And I may talk a little bit more, hopefully, in part two. I'm going to get in there and say a few things and let the former guys come in and talk, do their thing, and break it down to you. Because what they're saying, I'm on track with it. And from the combine, the whole nine. But hope you guys enjoyed that. And, yeah, but we're going to move on to the part two of the show. And the part two is about, is a flu shot safe during this pandemic? And the flu, Yabro, it kind of breaks down the flu. The flu is a like influenza, all right? Similar to the flu is an acute respiratory illness caused by viruses A and B. When much of the illness and death caused by influenza can be prevented by an annual influenza vaccination. Hold on one second. Caller, welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show with co-host Ryan Yabro. Who's calling?
Hey, this is Alan Jones from Palm Desert, California.
There you go.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
All right, Alan, how you doing today, my man?
Yeah. Oh, hey, okay, just trying to get it done.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Alan, we're talking about right now. Do you think we're talking about the flu? Is a flu shot safe during the pandemic? What do you think about that? And since you came in so quick, and I was just giving a definition of a flu. Well, hold on one second. The top key The top A flu viruses, type B flu virus is found only in humans. All right, type B is flu is found only in humans, okay? The type B is found only in humans. The type B is flu may cause a less severe reaction to A flu virus. But occasionally, type B flu can still be extremely harmful, okay? And what do you think about the flu? Do you think this is a safe time to be taking a flu shot?
Well, my take is on it, with my understanding as a former biology major, chemistry major in school, even though that was 1,000 years ago, it seems, they don't really mention the negative vaccine effectiveness associated, with a flu shot, you might say. You see, because in order for a flu shot to be effective, let's guess or best predict what strain it will be in the future at that time, this time next year when we develop and roll it out or whatever. Well, if they don't guess properly, how can it be effective? And if it's not effective, will it trigger another strain of vaccine? So those are the things to be concerned about. That's provided you have a very clean vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. So my take on it, since I haven't had a vaccine in, you know, it related to that, just inoculations, et cetera. I haven't had a prescription in 30 years. It's kind of difficult for me to be on the side of a flu shot when there are other risks associated with it, according to the 1960 Nobel laureate and primary developer of today's influenza vaccine, McFarlane Burnett. So I think it's kind of difficult for me to just blatantly and across the board say yes. Because as a healthy individual taking a flu shot, it is kind of a misread of the numbers, because generally someone's already healthy taking the shot. So how do you know how effective it is, mm-hmm. whether mm-hmm. Its symptoms show or not? Just for the first and primary question, I would ask anyone who is an athlete, how can you tell it held it back, or whether you never got it? And there are articles and substantiated peer-reviewed articles saying that with a flu shot this year, you can actually, it can increase the odds of you getting the flu next year or reduce your immunity next year. So I don't really see the real advantage overall.
So you wouldn't take it, right?
That's my opinion.
So you bring it down.
I wouldn't weaken my immune system. I wouldn't risk weakening my immune system under any circumstances, being healthy, other than eating nutritionally and supplementing my diet, with nutraceuticals, et cetera, and just leave it at that. Keep an eye on it, on any outbreak of any symptoms. Exactly.
All right, we're going to break it down to regular terms, Alan.
Alan
got me over here. Alan got me over here stuck. Yeah, he breaks it down all the way.
I'll repeat it in five seconds or less.
I'm with you, Alan. I'm with you, Alan.
Hey, but seriously.
I'm with you, Alan.
I'll repeat all of that mumbo jumbo in 5 seconds or less.
Yeah.
If you're healthy, don't take it. If you do, it could increase your chances of getting the flu next year.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Ron. Hey, I thought I had to go to night class. I was like,
according to the
answer.
Oh, no. Alan broke it all the way down, because the beautiful thing about how and what Alan said is because he knows. Okay, he prefaces what he says by saying biology, former biology, biology and chemistry major. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So he gonna let you know, and he let me know that he knows what he's talking about. I mean, it's a lot of people that say they are this and they're really not, or say they're this and they're that. Okay, but what I appreciate about you, Alan, coming on our show is giving us the scientific, the technical aspect of what's really going on, because with the flu shot, to answer your question, Stevie, no. Like Alan said, 30 years, guess what, Alan? It's been about 30 years since I had a flu shot as well, okay? Because once I found out, and this is my first year in college, once I found out that they were putting the flu in me to see how my body was going to react, why do I even want to, you know, I'm like, I'm cool. So why the only time I get a cold or get the flu is when I get a shot. So I figured all that, you know, now I'm independent. I'm 16 hours away from home. My father never made me get a shot, but that's something that you have to do in order to play sports and things of that nature when you're growing up. Did you have your flu shot? Did you have this shot? Did you have – not knowing that, hey, it's all regulated, okay? So when I get there, I'm over 18 now. I'm in college. I'm over 18. Do you want this flu shot? No. You can't make me take it either. I don't want this flu shot, okay? And especially right now with what's going on, I don't trust – no, because by being down here in Houston, okay, Brad – name is I don't even want to mess his last name up, but Scarface, okay, the rapper from the Ghetto Boys.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
He ran for public office. Brad Jordan. He ran for public office and everything this year, so he's back out on the forefront in a few things. But he caught the virus, okay, but he's diabetic, okay. And they were talking to him, they were interviewing him, talking about everything, and he's like, no, I'm self-quarantined because I don't want to go and get on the respirator because they're going to have me do a dialysis or whatever, whatever the case may be. But I'm not going to get on the respirator because all the people that have been on the respirators have passed away. So it's like certain things just don't fit. When after a while, it becomes common sense, okay?
Right.
I'm getting the flu shot. I don't catch colds, but every time I get this flu shot, I'm catching the flu. You see what I mean? I wish I would. I wish, and especially right now, and when we're talking about a pandemic, we're talking about population control, we're talking about a few different things all at the same time. No. In all caps. Capital N, capital O.
Yeah, but like I said, the thing that really blew me away was, I remember years ago when I was, researching this topic just from the surface because I have kids, et cetera. And like I said, the Nobel laureate and the primary developer of the day's influenza vaccine, McFarlane Burnett, but that was back in, 1960, I believe. He didn't think it was worth much. So, and that's stated in one of the Natural History of Infectious Disease articles in 1972 on page 212, if anyone wants to look it up. But he and I guess Kenneth McIntosh, I believe was his name, in about 2000 said that, giving these to kids, their body weight is much lower than, say, our maybe 6'2", 6'4" frame weight. We're giving them the same size shot because that's not done in any other medication, dosages, et cetera. So what McIntosh was saying was that he warned that, hey, first of all, we should not routinely give influenza vaccines to healthy children, okay, until I forgot the type of randomized trials were done, and that's over several seasons to make sure. And that was his absolute, heavy consideration that everyone should, pay attention to. So those are some of the things that go on behind the scenes. Yes, it's effective, but it's not as, them guessing the exact strain is not that 80-90% effectiveness that those numbers are thrown around at the, up against the wall and hope it sticks. No one really gets to explaining that, those guys really aren't meaning 80-90% effectiveness for this flu vaccine. And we aren't sure what the actual number is. That's the kind of fog you always get. So that right there, they lost me.
Right here.
So,
like you said, Ryan, every time you get one, then you get a little cold, sniffle, sick.
Right. So speaking of the flu, okay, I sent me and Stevie were talking about this. I came upon some information over this past week because I'm a historian. I like mm-hmm. history outside
excellent.
Of sports as well. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
100 years ago, this 2020, 1919, okay, was the Spanish flu epidemic, right? So, and I know you're familiar. Are you a native Californian, Alan?
No, I'm originally from North Carolina.
Okay. So,
Tar Heel State.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Well, I ain't even going to fool with you on that right now, especially with the Last Dance going on. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, but 1919,
I was there then.
Okay, the same thing
yeah.
happened, what's going on right now. It's ironic, cause I had to double take looking at these pictures because I'm like, everybody's
wow.
walking around with a mask, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by where we're at right now with the corona, okay, different states, different municipalities have different rules and regulations. My mom told me that Chicago is locked down until basically Memorial Day, until May 30th. And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, is that just Chicago or nationally? I think it's just Chicago. I was like, yeah, because down here in Houston, our lockdown is getting cut off on the 30th of this month, over the next couple of days. Okay, but the reason why I'm saying all of this is, and talking to the listeners, is because, once again, what happened back then, they had an anti-mask. They formed an anti-mask league. It was about 4,500 people, okay, when they lifted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then within 2 weeks, there were two times as many cases there as there were before, okay? So history...
Yep.
repeats itself. Yeah, history repeats
mm-hmm.
itself. They are right now, they're letting, it's mandatory, you know, quote unquote mandatory that we wear masks down here in Houston now, because over the next couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
they don't want the same thing to repeat itself. Okay. So, and that's just a history sidebar that I'm bringing up and talking about the flu, because I'm sure that you are aware and have some knowledge on that as well, Alan.
Yeah, you know something. It just came to mind Steve, you mentioned the topic explicitly. If the flu shot was safe, whatever, but would you take it now during the pandemic? Excuse me, the
mm-hmm.
pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came to mind. I was reading an article, and it pertained to 2009. I think during the H1N1. That's what it was. The H1N1 pandemic flu. The Canadian Public Health Associates of Danilo Skovosky, he was very involved in very high ethical, scientific standards and research and all, had a very high reputation. But they found that the 2008-2009 flu shot back then doubled the risk of illness from the 2009 H1N1. Speaking of what you, I forgot all about that one. And and furthermore, their considerations, their observations were enough to alter, Canadian vaccine policy, but it was swept under the rug. But see, they were very, very, credible and all. But as that was swept under the rug, people still talk about. It's hard to dismiss the legitimate use and safety concerns of vaccines, especially with the statistical significance of, I believe, as it relates to pregnancies. Yeah, pregnancies. It's associated with a 20% increase in autism, the autism spectrum.
Wow.
The central nervous system
wow.
and immunity havoc that it wreaks, that autism spectrum disorder in the offspring during that
right.
time, a 20% increase in autism. So, if your wife was pregnant, now would you take a flu shot and have her take a flu shot? Let's go down to your local store, your Walgreens, and get a discount card for $5 towards our free or discounted flu shot. And here she is pregnant. Oh, now keep in mind, it's the same size needle, not needle, but the same dosage delivered to you with your great big frame and me and over 6'2", to
and
a
you
little
think, but
woman,
your question.
Pregnant. Now,
but let me ask you a question.
Does that make sense to you?
First of all, it makes a lot of sense. But let me say this too. It's a $1.6 billion business that's going on right
mm-hmm.
now with the flu.
Yes.
Getting checked out, okay? Getting your flu shot. A $1.6 billion business. Number two,
teachers are seeing a huge rise in children's autism in school. You see that, right? I'm going to say it again.
Out here in California, you can go to the theater and then sometimes and see the whole first three rows taken up with autistic kids.
Wow.
You know, in some cities. So, yeah, I mean, you know, before doctors have to fly across the country and to see, you know, some of these rarities, but now they're in the bucket
right.
pools because they've been hit with vaccines and other contaminants in the environment, et cetera, et cetera. So
hold
we're
one second, guys,
a very dangerous.
Yeah, we have a caller. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Of course, Ron Yarbrough, and I have a true buddy on the line, Alan Jones. Who's calling?
It's Charlotte Adams.
Miss Charlotte, how you
Charlotte,
doing?
Charlotte,
welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Charlotte. You hanging? How you doing, Charlotte?
I'm doing much better.
You're teaching us something every week. I said you're teaching us something every week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and before you listen, Charlotte, she actually had the COVID-19, and she is. We thank God that she's doing better, and she's getting through it and doing the right things. And actually, she went a different route to actually go through a healing. But Charlotte, what do you think about taking a flu shot? What are your thoughts about taking a flu shot during this pandemic? Would you take a flu shot?
No. No.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Okay.
No, I don't take it anyway. So.
Okay.
But I
right.
definitely
mm-hmm.
would now. No.
Round you down. Talk to
him. Oh well, I mean, you already know what I think, and even though you're my brother. And everything like that, I'm going to tell people why you're really asking about this flu shot. Because what y'all don't know is Stevie got a flu shot last week, and he wanted to make sure he's going to be okay.
No, I didn't.
No,
I'm
just
playing.
Okay,
I was getting ready.
But you, as serious and laid back as I am, I like to clown a lot too, especially with Stevie. We clown all the time. That's why we had to keep each other focused on here. But no, that's beautiful. Well, Stevie asked what I think, and you know we already said no. But my main concern or my first question every time I hear Charlotte's voice is, you know, is she doing okay? Has she recovered? And which she said, yes, she's doing much better. And my main question that I always ask too is, have anybody follow back up with you?
No.
Okay. So for the listeners that have not kept up with us over the last few weeks, like Stevie said, Charlotte had the COVID-19. She overcame it. Okay. But the doctor or the clinic have not followed up with her ever since, and her birthday. See, I'm not going to tell you about my memory, but when it comes to numbers, I remember that Charlotte said her birthday was on the 16th. Am I correct?
19th.
16th of March. Okay. Well, 6/9.
19th.
They all the same to me. Yeah. But March the 19th. Okay. March the 19th. And she has not heard. Uh-huh. It's been over a month. It's been about a month and a half. Okay,
yes.
It's been about a month and a half, and no one has followed up with her. They just sent her home, and they said to see how you're feeling after a couple of weeks. No prescription, no nothing, no follow-up. I could partially understand about prescription because they were unsure in certain areas about what was going to happen, how everything is going to happen, and they don't want to have their, you know, their behind on the line for that. But not following up is a problem,
uh-huh.
and especially not following
yeah,
up
absolutely.
With all the information that has been going on over the past few weeks. Okay, excuse me, Ms. Adams, we're calling to find out, first and foremost, are you okay? You okay, or you might not be okay? Okay, well, here we have some new information for you to help you get okay or to make sure that you sustain your health. So I hear you jumping in. Alan, go on and jump in.
Oh, no. I was just agreeing with everything you're saying, but being blown away, yes, by the lack of contact. And at least, oh, hey, how you doing? Well, that handout we gave you, just add to that. As you're getting your rest, don't forget to try to get some type of exercise, sunshine, something or whatever,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, whatever it is that they want to add to the mix to just strengthen your stronghold against COVID-19, and without getting any kind of acknowledgement as any kind of recommendation or just a simple check by a staff member, running through the process of at least making a call, nothing. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of disheartening to see that in this type of situation.
Charlotte.
Absolutely.
Charlotte, may I ask you a question? So,
yes.
We have 10 minutes left in the show, but I want you to, if you can, for the listeners, can you just tell us again, like real quick, how you self-quarantine and Ryan broke it down to the listeners that no one had no follow-up at all to check on you. So, but you're doing better, but could you tell us a few things you did to self-quarantine? And then, if you can do that, please.
Yes. So pretty much during my self-quarantine, I took care of myself. I made sure that I was taking, probiotics. I made sure that I was taking something for my immune system, which I mentioned, the astragalus. I also, made sure I was getting a lot of fluids in my body, trying to eat
mm-hmm.
whole foods and fruits and vegetables, that type of thing. Making sure I got out
mm-hmm.
every day and at least got some exercise, if it was no more than walking my dog or something around the block, just trying to do something to be proactive so that my main thing was because I have asthma and I have this autoimmune condition with my sinuses, I definitely did not want any phlegm or anything like that building up in my system because that would not have been good for me. I have something I didn't share with you guys, but with my autoimmune condition, for the past like 2 or 3 years before I started on this injection that I take, I would be on IV antibiotics that I would administer to myself at home 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
For me, it was scary because I was like, oh, gosh, I don't need my condition flaring up. I don't need – because I have a lot of medical allergies. That was the other big thing mm-hmm. for me that was kind of scary because I'm allergic to a lot of medications. So I'm very limited with what I can even be treated with. So,
mm-hmm.
I was trying to do everything that I could possibly do to protect my health and to keep – myself from building up fluid in my chest, my lungs, anything of that nature because of what I've experienced in the past.
Alan, you want to send a thing? You give her like we got 60 seconds. You want to send a thing before Charlotte before we get off, please.
Let's see. All I can say is congratulations on your. Self-management through this difficult time. It seems to be managed much better than the total phone support that you got, from the medical staff that you went to visit. But absolutely. They say recently that, the sun, vitamin D and vitamin C, et cetera, it's a good exercise. Drink plenty of good water, not tap water. At least that baseline serves a good purpose of keeping your body in the shape to be able to resist in a meaningful way. So congratulations for at least seeking out and doing those things on your own. Excellent.
Thank you.
Alan, Alan, thanks for joining us. We're going to hopefully maybe you can come in next week. We're going to close to a part 2 on the NFL draft. Was it fair? And if you want to come in and join us, you're more than welcome. Thanks for calling in and also, too, giving your specific insight on certain things. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And, I'll make sure I forward information, show this information to you, too, so I get that done. I'm going to post her information also this week. Okay?
Oh, sounds good. And I can be reached by email. All right. Leave us alone at Gmail. Thanks. Bye bye.
Say it again now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Leave us a loan, like a home mortgage loan, L O A N. Leave us a loan at gmail.com.
All right, Alan. Hey, thank you so much. I love that. Thank you so much. And good night.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Bye, man. Peace.
All right. And Charlotte, again, thank you, Charlotte, for calling in. And thank you, we're glad that you're doing well, and our prayers are still going out to you. This is really, really sad in the sense that you had no follow up. But we're gonna keep our prayers going. I'm glad you called in, and I hope you've helped many listeners tonight. About how you actually went your own route, got yourself healed your way, and that give them awareness about, you know, not being approached or getting a phone call, let people know that, you know, it's just pretty much turning people away, get in and get out. But
right.
fortunately that you're doing well and you're healthy. Yeah, bro, you want to say anything to Charlotte, please, before we go?
Absolutely. First of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show and being transparent about what you've been going through, because not everybody does that, one. And two, you're helping a lot of other people out, you know, and educating a lot of other people by letting us know what you went through, and letting people know that they can overcome first and foremost. So obviously you have a fighter spirit, and we appreciate you coming on here and shining some light on what's going on out here right now.
Thank you so much. Charlotte. How can we reach you, Charlotte? How can people follow you? You want to go ahead and let us know?
Sure. I am on Facebook, Charlotte Adams, and also Resilient CC on Instagram and Facebook, and Adams Commercial Cleaning.
Awesome. And guys, too, for your listeners, I'm going to do a post this week, and I'm going to share it with Ryan, with Charlotte's all that information and her businesses. Charlotte, we'll keep the prayers going. Thank you so much for calling in, and it's always good for you to come and join the show. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All
right. Good night.
All right. Good night. Take care.
Good night.
Yeah, Ryan, so let's do a part two. Let's do a part two, and we can go. This is the part two of Do You Believe the NFL Was Fair, because we left out so much, and so let's roll with that next week. I'm gonna go ahead and set that up.
Absolutely, because when you remember what used to happen was mini camp used to always be my birthday weekend, and my jaws would be tight. But I was like, I'm fortunate enough to be here, so I can't get mad about that. Every time, because you know, right after the draft, yeah, we're gonna talk about that. But right after the draft was mini camp.
Right, but yeah, exactly. That's right. But hold on,
You're 49. Yeah, man.
40.
Next year be the big 5-0.
Look, you're the smoothest 49 on this planet. You're the smoothest 49 on this planet. Yeah, bro. Hey, I got 10 seconds. I want to tell listeners anything. Get 20 seconds. Anything you want to say before we go?
Yeah. Love, peace, and continued optimism, because like I said, everything is all right. We okay over here. All right. So until next week, continue to take care of yourself and continue to bless others.
Yep. And happy birthday, Ryan. Ryan Yabo, guys.
I appreciate you. Amen. Peace.
Well, listen, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We're gonna do a part two of the show next week. Part two, we're going to go in with Do You Believe the NFL Draft Is Fair? There's so many things that was left out we're going to get into. I want you guys to know this: God is the divine physician and healer. God is the divine
position and fill it. You guys have a good night. Hope you guys enjoy the show.
Little things like picnics in the park on a Saturday by the lake. Yeah, you used to chase after me. You really loved to see me run. You really liked the way the wind blew in my head. And I was called on purpose, yeah, because I knew. Thank you.